Howdy, folks, and welcome to another episode of Life Around the Fire. My name is David Rutari, and I'll be your host today. We are a podcast that is devoted to spiritual growth. And what we mean by spiritual growth is this: growth in our relationship, first and foremost with God, then in our relationships with one another. What I'd like to do today in this episode is continue on with this theme or this emphasis that we've been looking at for quite some time concerning us growing up before we grow old, maturing. For a person to mature mentally, physically, emotionally, but in this instance, spiritually. Oftentimes in our lives, we can get distracted or we can get really overcome by things that for a period of time either stunt us or prevent us from growing and developing spiritually. I mean, it happens emotionally all the time. We're bombarded with a variety of things, and it can overwhelm us. Well, the same thing can take place spiritually. In fact, some people have never really been born into the kingdom of God and experienced a real, alive relationship with God. And so you still are living in the realm of death, which is pretty profound. Spiritually, you're lost in a condition that is known as death or sin and death. You're incapable of breaking through on your own, and it requires help. And that respect requires humility to even acknowledge that you need help. But the fact of the matter is, we all need help in our lives. And Jesus has provided that very help. He has done what we couldn't do and has provided us a way for us to have access into the kingdom of God and become citizens, born into that kingdom, spiritually born into it, born again with his divine nature, and we become relationally connected to God. It's an experiential reality. And once that takes place, we are born in all aspects as infants, which on one hand is really good. On the other hand, it could be a little bit awkward if you are an adult and that happens, because you kind of want to do things the way that you've been doing them, because it's taking you a while to get good at what you're doing. Except in the kingdom of God, many things are opposite. They're different. Kind of like, in order to grow into greatness, we need to acknowledge our need and be humble. To be considered in a place of development, we need to be able to serve instead of being served. We obey versus barking out orders. And first become last. And those who are considered last become first. And there are a variety of things that take place that are opposite. And so when we are born into that kingdom, we have to learn the ways, the culture of that kingdom in order to function in it. We have to know the language and the ways of that kingdom. Just like any other culture, after a while, you naturally live out those ways. But until that's natural, it takes some real discipline. Thus, we become disciples of Jesus, followers. We follow his example. And Holy Spirit is now our teacher. Jesus is seated in the heavenly place, in the highest place. And he's positioned us to be seated there with him. Praise God. I mean, really, I say praise God, and I mean that. I praise God for that. I'm seated with Christ right now in heavenly places, even though my physical body is still in the earth. However, I have dual citizenship. And so being born into that requires me learning new ways. And sometimes I don't look all that dignified in learning those new ways. Kind of like an adult getting on a pair of roller skates for the first time. It looks easy, but once you get on them, you find out that there's a lot more involved. And you often wind up on your backside a few times, and it doesn't look very dignified. Until we get smoother at it, right? Then we can function. The kingdom of God is much like that. The culture of the kingdom is different than the culture that you were born into on planet Earth in many respects. But we're born into this unique culture, but we're not born into it just individually. We're born into it as a community, as a body, as an ecclesia, as those called out from darkness into light. And we're called collectively. And so even though we definitely mature individually, and that's important, of course it is. It's personal. Relationship with God is intimate. It's personal. It's real. It's alive. It's growing. The same thing goes with our relationship with one another. But there are sometimes things that we need to work out because of our tendencies that we've developed prior to us experiencing life in God's kingdom. We've picked up ways of life that are negative, that we need to let go of, because they inhibit our relationship with God and with each other. And so we've been looking at us growing up, not just individually, but growing up, maturing collectively, because there's something about a collective group of people that grow and mature together. It's powerful. And so before we go any further, because we live in such a busy world and there's competition for our attention all the time, let's just take a moment and pray and ask God to collect our thoughts and bring them into a place of focus so that we can receive things from him without distraction. And so, Father, we look to you right now And I ask that you would use me as a conduit, that you would flow through me and present things concerning your kingdom that you want us to focus on. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you'd provide that covering for us so that our attention can be locked in on the ways of God, that we can see Jesus clearly and how he goes about doing things, how he went about living and how he's living life right now, and that we could be in sync with him. He being our head, we being his body, that we would function together in unity. So Holy Spirit, I ask that you'd cause that to take place, manifest the words of life as only you can, and I ask that you'd do this as we stand here in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen, amen. You know, I've been looking at for quite some time this number 120. 120. Now, it's captured my attention because it's something that has been inside of my mind, and deeper than that, it's in my spirit. The number 120. I mean, it could be any number, but it's the number 120. And because we, in this particular podcast, carry a prophetic type purpose, that number is important. It carries with it some significance. And so I've been looking into what is all about the number 120. And without question, I use as a baseline the scriptures. I find that they contain the very word of God and his ways and his patterns, his mind. It's more than profound. It's really the basis by which I can analyze things and compare things. And so the first time that I really saw the number 120 is in Genesis, the book of Genesis, the first book in the Bible, the book of beginnings. And it talks about the number of man's years. And it would be, you know, the years would be 120. 120 years. Well, interesting, you know, that's from beginning to end, 120 years. Now, the things concerning that are more than just linear, meaning, okay, well, you start from day one to 120 years, and then it's, you know, a calculated closure. No, that's not it. It signifies 120 years. And I believe, I really do, I believe that I'm going to live to be 120. And I believe that with all my heart. Now, if things change, well, the sheer fact that I don't know everything exactly is not a big surprise. But there are some things that are important regardless of whether or not I live to be 120. That word 120, that number 120, I should say, that number 120, as I've been looking at it, I've stumbled onto this quote from a gentleman by the name of Steve Grable. And I've kind of done some digging and found that there's a ministry called Jeremiah Ministries that he's part of, and Steve Grable is a pretty interesting guy. I really like a lot of his stuff. And he said that the number 20 is something that the Lord spoke to him about. He goes, the number 120, the Lord said, signifies the passing away of the age of the flesh and the beginning of the age of the spirit. I'm going to read that again. The number 120 signifies the passing away of the age of flesh and the beginning of the age of the spirit. He goes on to say, each time you see the number 120 in the Bible, you will see how this definition will apply and enhance your perception of what is taking place in that particular passage. So the passing away of the flesh and the beginning of the age of the spirit. So living to be 120 means that you enter into another realm after 120. You go from being physically alive into eternal life, spiritual life. And then I remembered that in the book of 2 Chronicles, King Solomon was dedicating a temple, the temple, to God, in which the Ark of God's Covenant, the seat upon which he would sit and his presence would be made known in the temple, was dedicated, and 120 priests sounded trumpets, and when the trumpeters joined in unison as one, this is in 2 Chronicles 5, verse 12, they were accompanied by 120 priests sounding trumpets. The trumpeters and singers joined in unison as with one voice to give praise and thanks to the Lord. Accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments, they raised their voices in praise to the Lord and saying, he is good, his love endures forever. Then the temple of the Lord was filled with a cloud, and the priests could not perform their service because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the temple of God. Interesting. 120 priests. The passing away of the age of flesh and the beginning of the age of the spirit. God's presence coming into that temple so strong that the priests could not even stand. His glory was so thick that they prostrated themselves under the weight of God's presence, under the weight of his glory. To meet God is an amazing thing. I mean, in many respects, his name has been really mistreated. And trivialized in so many respects. And things being spoken about him that are untrue or have been so watered down that it's almost as though we have to apologize for believing him. Because in many circles, to believe in God means that you are a fool, you're some sort of weakling. Your mind is not really sharp. You're not well developed. You need a crutch. Instead of it being an expression of wonder and awe and magnificence that we are the body of Christ. We carry with us the very life of God. So much so that when it's manifest, it tangibly impacts people. You see, I want people to meet the presence of God before they ever meet me. And when they meet me, His presence would be magnified. And when I leave, His presence would remain strong. I want that manifestation of God to be the signature of my life. In order for that to be so, I need to be joined together with other people, because this is not a one man or one woman operation. This is not about someone being a prima donna or a superstar. This is about us being the body of Christ, joined together in unison, like those priests. There's something about 120. God does things in order. There's an order to God that's unique, and He has shown us certain things and is showing us. That's what I'm saying right now. He's showing us some things right now, revealing mysteries to us right now. We are living in a day and an age in which the manifest presence of God is going to become stronger and stronger and stronger, much like what was seen in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, where His glory is so intense that it prostrates people. His glory is going to be so strong on individuals that we literally are clothed with His glory, like Adam and Eve were clothed with the glory of the Lord in the Garden of Eden. His glory was their clothing. His glory is to be our clothing, the visible, tangible presence of God. And in order to do so, He refines us and then joins us together. Because magnifying Him together brings about a sound and a vibration and a demonstration of light that is incomparable, beyond compare. Acts, the book of Acts in the New Testament, the book of Acts. There's an interesting passage in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1, verse 15, I believe it is. It says, in those days, Peter stood up among the believers. This is after Jesus ascended and went straight to the right hand of the Father. Literally, they saw Him ascend, and then they saw Him disappear into another realm. And He's now seated with God, our Father. Soon to come again. Praise God. I mean, soon to come again on planet Earth. In Israel, in Jerusalem, Mount of Olives, touchdown. Split wide open. King of Kings and Lord of Lords is coming back. Not as a suffering servant, but as a conquering king. Praise God. But Peter stood up. This is Acts chapter 1, verse 15. Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120. And he said, brothers, the scriptures had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through the mouth of David concerning Judas. And he goes on to explain what took place with Judas. And that there was going to be a replacement. And they replaced Judas with Matthias. And then in Acts chapter 2, we start reading that something took place on the day of Pentecost. And it was 10 days before that that Jesus said, wait together. wait together until you receive what I promised you will receive. Don't go anywhere. Wait in unison. 120. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. God's presence came in like a mighty rushing wind. I imagine the sound of the shofar and the Spirit coming through the shofar into that place and becoming whom Jesus said he would be. He said he would send another just like him, but he was going to take us even further. And here we are in the year 2024, and God is doing something now that has the number 120 involved. There's something taking place. There's a shift that has taken place. There's a shift that has taken place, and there is another passing away of the age of flesh and the beginning of the age of the Spirit. There's a different age and era that we're living in right now. And it behooves us to join together, to be joined together as his body, putting away our petty differences and allowing him to refine us, to purify our lives, not us refining ourselves. That's legalism. That's religion. Rules and regulations are religion. Man's attempt to do something that only God can do. But obedience to the promptings that he gives to us, embracing things that he says to embrace and letting go of things that he says to let go of, and joining together with people that he says join together with. And in this particular podcast, within the sphere of influence in this particular podcast at this particular point in time, the Lord has put it on my heart to call for 120 people to join together with me. 119 plus me that simply join together in agreement and say, God, I don't want anything other than you. In other words, I don't want anything before you. I will have no other gods before you. I have nothing else that I place in front of you. I want you first and foremost. You are enough. Everything else is secondary. 120 people within the course of the next 5 days, and I'm going to stay on this particular element of us growing up before we grow old for the next 5 days. At the end of that 5 days, I want to make a declaration together. I don't need you to email me. I don't need you to send me anything. I just need you to agree with me in this one simple area, that God is first and foremost. And we want God, not pictures of him, not thoughts about him. We want him. We want him. I'm not satisfied with things about him. I want him and I want his ways. 120. Five days from now. This is day number one. Tomorrow will be day number two. Then it'll be number three, number four. On day five, so 4 days from now, I want to make a declaration speaking into the spirit the things that God has placed upon my heart, sounding the shofar, sounding the trumpet for the glory of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for who you are, for what you're doing, for why you're doing it. And we want you, unmistakably you, so we look to you, and I ask that you would bring about 120 people. I know that you're doing this all over the nations, God. And this is one of the groups that you're using to do this. So I ask within the sphere of influence of this particular ministry that you would provide 120 people to agree together and call out to you for your presence, for you to manifest yourself to us and through us, like you did in the life of Jesus and like you're doing right now. I thank you. I honor you and speak these things standing here in the name of Jesus. And to you, Holy Spirit, I say, let it be. So be it. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. All right, folks, I love you. If you have any thoughts, questions, concerns, please feel free to drop us a line at lifearoundthefire@gmail.com or type in lifearoundthefire and visit us on the web. We would love to hear from you. In the meantime, God bless you. Adios, amigos.